I love Islam. 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 I love Islam.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
My dear viewers of I Love Islam, welcome back to another episode. This is our children-based program which Alhamdulillah it's been running for over a year now. Alhamdulillah and those who are watching us from different parts of the world, wherever you are watching us from, please stay tuned, stay till the end inshallah, because today we have a special guest in the studio. Subhanallah, very soon I'll be introducing you to him inshallah azawajal, and also we will try to listen to a kalam from him as well. Alhamdulillah, we are here in the Bradford studio, and with me I have Hassan Raza. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you doing, Hassan Raza?
Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah. And with Hassan Raza, we have our little Ibrahim Attari from Bradford. I want you to give introduction to yourself nice and loudly. Let's see how loud you are. Come on.
I'm good, Alhamdulillah.
What's your name? What's your full name? And where are you from?
Muhammad Ibrahim Attari. I'm from Bradford.
And where do you study?
Madrasatul Madina of Dawat Islami.
Subhanallah, mashallah. Ibrahim, I would like to say welcome to you to our I Love Islam program. How are you feeling?
I'm good, Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah, well done, mashallah. Why don't we listen to a kalam? Okay, both of you, who wants to go first? Come on then, Hassan Raza, come on. Okay, then you read it first, then inshallah we'll have Ibrahim. And both times, let's do a deal, both times we're going to join in together, aren't we? Are you ready, Ibrahim? Yes, mashallah. Come on then, let's read together.
Sallallahu alayka ya Rasulullah, wa sallam alayka ya Habib Allah. آنکھوں کا تارا نام محمد آنکھوں کا تارا نام محمد دل کا اجالا نام محمد دولت جو چاہو دونوں جہاں کی دولت جو چاہو محمد آنکھوں کا تارا نام محمد دل کا اجالا نام محمد نوح و خلیل و موسیٰ و عیسیٰ نوح و خلیل و موسیٰ و عیسیٰ سب کا ہے آقا نام محمد آنکھوں کا تارا نام محمد دل کا اجالا نام محمد پوچھے گا مولا لایا ہے کیا کیا پوچھے گا مولا لایا ہے کیا کیا میں یہ کہوں نام محمد آنکھوں کا تارا نام محمد دل کا اجالا نام محمد اپنے رضا کے قربان جاؤ اپنے رضا کے قربان جاؤ جس نے سکھایا نام محمد جس نے سکھایا نام محمد آنکھوں کا تارا نام محمد دل کا اجالا نام محمد
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وآلہ وسلم Subhanallah, that was a beautiful kalam read by Hassan Reza. MashaAllah, well done Hassan Reza. Keep up the hard work that you do, MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah, now, without any delay, we are going to our new Muballigh, Ibrahim Attari, who's going to read a kalam. Come on then, let's go ahead.
Sallallahu alayka ya Rasulullah وسلم عليك يا حبيب الله الله حمديها في ذكر آينا بنا دي قرآن کے احکام نبی بھی مجھ کو چلا دے کرتا رہو ہر دم میری طاعت باپ کی عزت کی بھی تو فکر خدا دے
beautiful kalam that you recited. MashaAllah. Well done, Ibrahim. May Allah Azawajal accept your recitation. MashaAllah. Ibrahim, let's quickly go to our first segment. Story time.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
And today's topic is the childhood of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Alayhi Rahmatul Rahman. Subhanallah, today we are going to talk about this great personality, the reviver of Islam, the great Imam of the last century, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan. And in particularly, we are going to talk about his childhood. Subhanallah. So please make sure you wait for that exciting moment, inshallah, where we are going to learn about some facts about his life, inshallah azawajal. Ibrahim, you recited the kalam, Allah mujhe hafiz-e Quran bana de. Hey, what does it mean?
Make me hafiz-e Quran.
Subhanallah. It's a beautiful dua, isn't it? And do you read that like regularly in your Madrasatul Madina?
Yes.
Subhanallah, wow. It's a beautiful dua, and I do dua for you as well. May Allah Azza wa Jal make you a practicing Hafiz of Quran, inshallah.
Ameen.
And then you need to complete Hifz as well, inshallah, okay? MashaAllah, it's really nice that you're with us today, inshallah. But today we are talking about the blessed childhood of Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi. First of all, let me share with you some beautiful facts. Okay, number one. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Alayhi Rahmatul Rahman, he completed his first recital of the whole Quran by the age of 4.5 years. Just imagine 4.5 years old. Yeah? Normally we say a baby, don't we? Yeah, 4.5 years old. Yeah, Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi completed reciting the whole Quran. SubhanAllah. That is amazing, isn't it? Isn't it, kids? It's beautiful, SubhanAllah. What an achievement. It doesn't stop there. Okay. When Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahmatul Rahman, when he was 6 years old, he delivered a long speech front of a large audience. Do you know how long was the speech? This speech was around 2 hours long. Wow, 2 hours. Just imagine 6 year old standing in front of a large audience in which there are so many scholars there as well, and delivering a speech. And in the speech, Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali spoke about the blessed birth of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. SubhanAllah, that is amazing. Yeah, and you know the great scholars who were there in the audience, they were so inspired. They were so happy for this young Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan that they gave him so much dua. Yeah, they gave him dua, they were so happy for him. They said, MashaAllah. Can you actually believe? Can you believe like 6 year old doing a speech in like in a large audience? Yeah. It's not easy, is it? What do you think? Is it possible? These days it's so hard. It's not easy. Just imagine, yeah, Allah has a standing up, you know, and there's so many people in front of him, and then he delivers a speech. And this speech was like a normal subject. It was an in-depth discussion about the blessed birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. SubhanAllah. So can you believe it? At a young age, Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali was trained by his parents that you must love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just imagine how much love Ala Hazrat had for Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the young age. At that young age where he could stand up and do a speech for about 2 hours long. That is just mind-blowing. SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. And also, at a similar age, at the age of 6, Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali became aware about the direction of Baghdad. Yeah, you know, you have north, east, south, west. Yeah, you have directions. Yeah. There's one direction from where he lived. Yeah, he was told that if you face this particular side, this is the direction towards Baghdad. And Baghdad is a place of which great scholar? Sayyiduna? Yes, say loud, come on.
Sayyiduna Ghazi Azam Rahmatullahi Ta'ala.
Yes, Baghdad is the city of Sayyiduna Ghazi Azam, Sayyiduna Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi. And Ala Hazrat became aware of the direction of which faces towards Baghdad, which faces towards Sayyiduna Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi. And from that age, when he became aware, he had so much love and respect for Sayyiduna Ghawse Pak Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, he decided that he will not face his feet towards that direction.
SubhanAllah.
This is out of respect, out of love. He decided that I'm not going to face my feet towards the direction in which there is the shrine, the resting place of Sayyidina Ghawse Pak radiallahu ta'ala anha. SubhanAllah, this is the immense love and respect and adab Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala ali had at the young age.
How does Ala Hazrat feel when he gave a speech in front of everyone?
He was
Say
that again?
Just imagine that.
Yes, SubhanAllah. Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, he was 6 years old. I did a long speech. SubhanAllah, that is amazing. Yeah, and all the kids who are watching this, you know, we should all be excited because Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali is that great personality who dedicated his life to study Islamic knowledge. He spent all his life in spreading the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he spent his life in reciting the naat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also Ala Hazrat, he was a poet. He used to write poems about the love of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
SubhanAllah.
That is amazing, SubhanAllah. And guess what? Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatul rahman, he had so much love for praying salah. Yeah? He has so much love. He loved going to the masjid and reading namaz with jamaat. Yeah? And that's something that all of us, we need to instill that love in our hearts as well. We need to connect ourselves with the masjid as well. Yeah, we need to go read namaz regularly in the house of Allah Ta'ala. Whenever there would be namaz time, Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi would go to the masjid and would read namaz with the first takbiri. That means that Allah Hazrat would go there before the jamaat started. Yeah, right from the beginning. Yeah, and what about us, all the kids who are watching, all the elders who are watching? What about us when it's namaz time? Just imagine how lazy we are. No, we don't even put the effort in.
Stay at home.
Yeah, people stay at home and they're just being lazy and they're losing out all the blessings, aren't they?
Yeah,
yeah, they could have gained so much thawab and blessings, just losing out.
Could have got so much thawab.
Subhanallah, by just making your way to your masjid, you'll get so much thawab, mashallah. Now, we're talking about Ala Hazrat and his childhood. Now, these three, four facts I've shared with you, let's try to understand them again. Number one, at the age of 4.5 years, Ala Hazrat
finished the glorious Quran.
Completed the whole Quran Pak, yeah, first time, yeah. Then, when he was 6 years old, what happened?
He delivered a speech.
2 hours. What was the topic?
About the birth of the Prophet.
MashaAllah. Well done. That means you're switched on, both of you. MashaAllah, like that. And when he found out the direction about the Baghdad, then what was his practice after that?
He never stretched his foot to that direction ever again.
Yeah. Now, let's try to analyze this. All the viewers of Madani Channel, let's try to analyze this. A young 6-7 year old, 4 year old child, and he's achieved so much in that age. How did he do it? It wasn't just like, you know, like they say, randomly just happened. Yeah, that shows there's a lot of work that has gone behind the scene. His honorable parents, this was the upbringing and tarbiyah of his honorable parents, that Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi had such love for Islam at young age. That means that as Muslims, we need to make sure we give the right upbringing. We give quality time to our children. We need to make sure we nurture our kids with Islamic lifestyle. And that is important for all of us. We need to reschedule our, you know, weekly routine. We need to see what can we do more to improve our, you know, love and dedication towards our children's education. And that is something that we have to take this as a priority. We need to make sure that as Muslims, you know, we need to be on top of the Islamic education of our children. Like the way we learn from the life of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatur rahman. MashaAllah. Now, from a young age, Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he developed this beautiful habit. There's manners of walking as well. Yeah. You know, some people, when they walk, they make so much noise, banging noise, yeah? Feet banging, yeah? And this is not a normal way. It's not the right way. It's not from the etiquette, yeah? So Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, he realized, understood that it's important to walk with respect. So he would avoid making sound on his footsteps. Yeah? He would walk with respect. And at a young age, at the age of 7, he developed the habit of keeping fasts. Yeah? So he was in love with fasting, yeah, even from the age of 7 years old. Yeah, that shows that from his family, he was given a special, you know, special focus. And I'm going to share with you a beautiful story from the childhood of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatur rahman. Are you guys ready for the story?
Yeah.
Okay, this is a beautiful story. This is amazing. Like they say, it's next level. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready, kids? Okay, let's go ahead with the story then. It is mentioned that Sayyid Ayub Ali Shah, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he states that when Ala Hazrat, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatur rahman, was a child, a teacher used to come to his house, a Qari Sahib, used to come to his house and would teach him the Holy Quran.
Subhanallah.
One day, while teaching, the teacher, the Qari Sahib, asked Ala Hazrat again and again to recite this certain word of the Quran, but Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he tried to copy the teacher, but the words were not coming out the way the teacher was saying. So what happened? Qari Sahib of Ala Hazrat, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, he was teaching him, and he was reading a word, and in that word there was a zabr. And he would say that word, but Ala Hazrat, the child, he would repeat the word, but with a zair. And the teacher was getting confused. I go, what's going on? What's happened? He's a smart kid. What's happened to him today? How come he's not copying me properly? How come he's making a mistake? And so the teacher started repeating the word. Okay, can you, come on son, can you say that word again? And Ala Hazrat said the word, but again he said it with a zair. Now this was getting confusing. Yeah, the teacher thought, what's going on? Now something needs to be done. I'm telling the student to read a letter with zabar, but he's reading a zair. And we're reading Quran Pak, so why is the son not reading it correctly? Now the teacher got confused. He thought, what do I do now? And at that time, remember this, Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he was so blessed, he was born in the family of scholars. His own father, he was a great mufti of Islam. And his own granddad was also a great scholar of Islam. So his granddad, Maulana Raza Ali Khan, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, noticed this. That my grandson is in front of the teacher, and the teacher, the Qari Sahib, is telling him to read something, and he's not reading it properly. And the grandfather was observing this. He thought, what's going on? So the grandfather, Maulana Raza Ali Khan, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, asked someone to bring a copy of the glorious Quran. So now the copy of the glorious Quran was brought in front of him. And the honorable grandfather of Ala Hazrat, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he looked at the page. He opened the Quran, he looked at the page, looked at the line, and he noticed, he discovered that the scripture did actually have a mistake. The actual print that the teacher was using, that had a printing mistake. So in reality, there was a zair, but the teacher was mistaken.
So yeah, in the suburb, right.
So Ala Hazrat was right. So Ala Hazrat, even at a young age, he was right. And the teacher had mistakenly, said that because the teacher was just looking at the copy, the printed version. But the printed version had a mistake on it. And sometimes it can happen. Sometimes you can have a printing mistake. And if you find a printing mistake, there's anyone who is watching this, when you're reciting Quran Pak and you found a printing mistake, then compare it with another Quran, or few with the Quran Pak. And if you think, yes, this is wrong, then we need to correct it. You get mistakes as well. Is it because you don't learn it properly?
I do.
You do learn it. Why do you get mistakes then? Don't worry, it's normal. Yeah, it's fine. You can make mistakes. You're a human, aren't you?
Yeah.
Are you sure you're a human?
Yeah.
Okay then. Because humans make mistakes. So it's fine. Okay, Ibrahim? Tell your Qari Sahib I'm allowed to make mistakes.
Yeah.
Are you going to tell him? Yeah, don't worry, you can make mistakes. However, you need to learn from your mistakes as well. Yeah, if you make a mistake, then try to not repeat the mistake again. Because your Qari Sahib, your teachers, your parents will remind you. Say, Ibrahim, this is wrong. Should have been doing this. Come on, Ibrahim, what's wrong with you? Yeah. And if they tell you this, then you need to sort yourself out. You need to change yourself. Yeah. Because look, we're talking about Ala Hazrat today, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very special day. Yeah. We're talking about Ala Hazrat. What reason is special day? Because we are remembering this great scholar of Islam. And whenever we talk about the scholars of Islam, the great pious people, you know what happens at that time? The mercy of Allah descends.
Subhanallah.
Wow. Just imagine how much mercy is descending, is coming down to us. Yeah, this is not a normal gathering. This is not a normal program. We're talking about, we are remembering the great scholar of Islam, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, alayhi rahmatur rahman. Just imagine how much blessings that are being showered upon us today. Subhanallah. So what happened in that particular incident, the teacher was correct. The teacher was
incorrect.
Not correct. Come on. I was testing you there. Come on, Ibrahim, Hassan Raza. I think it's time to switch it on. You need to switch your brains on.
I said incorrect. Yeah?
Did you say incorrect?
Yeah.
Let's say it loud next time. Thank you. Okay. The teacher was incorrect, and obviously the student, Ala Hazrat, got it right. And how did that happen? Yeah. One is possible that, in fact, what happened, the grandfather asked Ala Hazrat, Remember, Allah, the grandfather used to call his grandson Ahmad Raza.
Yeah.
So he said, "Oh Ahmad Raza, why did you not recite the word the way your teacher said it? Why do you not read the words like the way your teacher has told you?" And Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, with respect, he said, I tried my best to repeat the word the way my teacher was saying. However, for some reason, I was struggling to say the word. As if like someone's controlling my tongue. They're not letting me say the zabar. It's like someone's holding my tongue and like not letting me say it. Allahu Akbar, can you believe that? This was a sign that, you know, Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi was so blessed, even from a young age. SubhanAllah. I want to share one more beautiful thing. Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, SubhanAllah, he had a special intellect. He was genius. He had, you could say, he was a normal child. Allah Azza wa Jal blessed him with such memory that it's mind-blowing. Allahu Akbar. Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi himself says that the beginning books of Deen, I used to study from a teacher. And when that teacher would give his lecture, and then I would just look at that lesson, full lesson, once or twice. Yeah, look at Ibrahim. Allah Hazrat says, I used to look at the lesson once or twice, and then the next day, when the teacher would ask me, "Come on, Ahmad Raza, can you read your lesson? What have you learnt?" Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, he says, "I will repeat the lesson word by word."
Subhan.
Can you believe it? So whatever the teacher taught him, whatever he's been writing, he read, he used to learn it, all of it, as if he used to memorize it all.
By heart.
By heart. And this is just by looking at it once or twice. You know, both of you, you know, have a dream to do hifz. Just imagine, you look at your sabak once or twice, you read one full page,
yeah,
and then you become a hafiz of that page.
Inshallah.
That would be beautiful, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi was blessed with such memory, photographic memory, SubhanAllah, that even the teacher was shocked. How could he even do this? One day, you know, the teacher was so surprised. He thought, it's not normal. It's not normal. This is not normal. This is something extraordinary. So once the teacher said to the child, said, "Oh Ahmad Raza, please tell me, look secretly, tell me, are you a human being or a jinn?" So what does that mean? The teacher was confused. Because Allah Hazrat had such, you know, extraordinary qualities.
Yeah.
Teacher thought, maybe it's not a human. Maybe this child is a jinn. Yeah. Allahu Akbar. So the teacher actually asked him. And Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali said that, "Alhamdulillah, by the mercy of Allah, I am a human being." Yeah. However, this is the mercy of Allah. Even at a young age, yeah, Allah Hazrat was given so much qualities, but Allah Hazrat was arrogant. He didn't have pride in him. He would always be thankful. He said, "Alhamdulillah, I'm a human, and all this is a blessing of Allah."
Subhanallah.
It's a favor of Allah. And this is a beautiful lesson for all of us. That if you have been blessed with any quality, if you're a good qari, if you're a good naat khan, if you're a good speaker, you have good confidence, any quality that you have, and if you have nice clothing, remember this, these are the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal. And always be thankful to Allah Ta'ala. We've got some very important segments to cover as well. Okay then, let's move on to our next segment, Sunnah Lifestyle.
I love Islam, I love Islam, I love Islam.
And today's topic is miswak. Today we are going to talk about the importance and the significance of using a miswak. But before we actually discuss it, let's try to understand what miswak is. Come on boys, have you seen a miswak before?
Yes.
How will you define it? Come on, let Ibrahim start off. What is miswak then? What does it look like? And can you explain it?
It's somewhat brown.
It's something brown, okay.
It's something brown, and it's something that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to use.
SubhanAllah. And is it made out of metal?
No.
Glass?
It's like
wood.
Yeah, wood.
It's made out of wood. Okay, and what do you do? You're holding your hand like this or something.
Whenever you do wuzu, you can use it.
Subhanallah. You're missing something though. Use it what? Use it to put it in the ears. What's this? Yes, that's what I was looking for. So it's a toothpick.
Okay.
Yeah? It's a toothbrush, you could say. It's a toothpick. It's a wooden piece. Okay? It's not the normal toothbrush we have. Okay? It's a wooden piece, a long piece. Normally, it's like the thickness of your finger. Yeah? And it's that much wide, like a hand span wide. Yeah? It's a small wooden stick. And you use it as a toothbrush. And you said that it is sunnah to use this miswak at the time of wuzu. So if you're performing wuzu, it is sunnah to perform to use miswak. MashaAllah, that was really good. Anything else you want to say about miswak, how it looks like and where do you get it from?
I was going to say the same thing. It's made out of wood and you use it to brush your teeth. And I don't know where it comes from, but...
Does it come from the skies?
No.
Where does it come from?
I feel like it comes from trees.
It's a wood, isn't it? So woods come from tree, okay? It's a special material, okay? And generally it's from a tree, from a branch of a tree. They normally, you know, break that branch, they cut it into pieces, small pieces, and there's different type of miswak. But one thing that we need to remember, miswak is one of the beautiful sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. And remember this, in our age, we have toothpaste, we have toothbrush, we use them. That's fine. You can use your you can have a toothpaste. You can use that to clean your teeth. However, when you compare the both, remember one thing: miswak, the actual wooden stick, that is more superior than the toothbrush we have.
I use miswak in the morning.
Subhanallah! Wow, that is excellent. That, mashallah, I'm really proud of you, Ibrahim. Mashallah, I'm really happy to hear that. And I want to tell you guys something beautiful about miswak. Obviously, using miswak is one of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is mentioned in various narrations that a person who has a habit, who is regularly using miswak, one of the blessings they will get is that they will die with the kalima.
Subhanallah.
They will pass away with iman.
Subhanallah.
Can you believe it? Someone been using miswak all his life in the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when he passes away, he will pass away with iman. That's the greatest gift you can ever have.
Yeah.
Yeah? So that means using miswak is not something so normal or something small. It's something very special. So we need to make sure we follow this beautiful sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our life, inshallah. Inshallah. Now it's time to move on to our next segment. What is it called? Do you know the name?
Islamic manners.
Islamic rulings.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Inshallah azawajal, in this segment, Islamic rulings, we are going to talk about Sajdae Sahv. Sajdae Sahv. Ibrahim's thinking, what is that? Have you ever heard that word before? It's going to be fun now, isn't it? Because I won't tell you the answer that quick. You have to guess it first. Yeah? Hold on. Come on, have a wild guess. What is it about? What is it to do with?
Namaz.
Well done, he's got it right. He's got the first part right. Sajdae Sahv is something to do with Salah. It's to do with Namaz. That's good. You're on the right track now. But you need to get there as well. You can't just stay behind. You have to get to the answer. What is Sajdae Sahv? Hassan Razak, can you help now?
Sajdae Sahv is extra two sajdans after when you make a mistake in your salah, you do extra. When you miss a wajib action from the salah, then you do a Sajdae Sahv after the namaz.
Interesting. Sajdae Sahv is an Islamic term, and all of you kids need to learn this because it's very important. It's to do with your salah. Sometimes what happens in namaz, you make some mistakes, and especially if you miss a wajib action. Remember, you have farz action, you have wajib action, then you have sunnah, then you have mustahab. There's different levels, aren't there?
Yeah.
There are different levels of things that you do in namaz. And wajib is one of the important things. Okay? There are around 30 wajib actions.
Subhanallah.
Yeah, in namaz. There are about 30 wajib actions.
Subhanallah.
And if someone was to miss one or more wajib mistakenly, you know, accidentally, without knowing, without realizing, you missed a wajib, then you know you're having that, I can't say bad day, but whatever you want to call it, it was that special day for him that he missed one wajib, then he's reading namaz, he missed another one. Then he missed another one. So in one namaz, he's missed about 4 or 5 wajib actions. So even if you miss one wajib or more than one, but if they were all done accidentally, not on purpose, you miss them accidentally, then in namaz, there's a solution to that. And the solution is that when you carry on with the namaz, when you go to the end, when you're reading the At-Tahiyyat, yeah, the last sitting of namaz, you read up to Abduhu wa Rasuluh, you give salam to one side, you say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, then you perform 2 sajda. Yeah, you do 1 sajda, sit down, then you do 2nd sajda, then you sit down. After these 2 sajda, you read At-Tahiyyat again, and you finish the whole qaada, all the way to Durood Sharif and Dua as well. So this sajda we did in the middle. Yeah? After Abduhu wa Rasuluh, we did salam and performed 2 sajda. This is called sajda-e sahav. What is it called, Ibrahim?
Sajda-e sahav.
Can you say it loud?
Sajda-e sahav.
Yes, it's called sajda-e sahav, which means that you made a mistake in namaz, you missed a wajib accidentally. If you perform this sajda-e sahav, you made up for it. Your namaz will still be valid. You won't need to repeat the namaz. That is quite clever, isn't it?
What happens,
so you need to remember this.
What happens if you miss a wajib on purpose and you still do sajda sahab?
That's interesting. Yeah, if someone was to miss a wajib on purpose, they have to read the namaz again. Yeah? You have to read namaz. If you miss wajib or first action on purpose, you will need to repeat the namaz again. But we are talking about sajda sahab. So this is like you made a mistake. Yeah, and you can make a mistake sometimes. But the question is, how do you know you missed a wajib?
That's what I was going to ask you.
What do you think? How does someone know they missed a wajib? No answer. What do you think, Asindaza? How will someone know? So there's kids watching this program, elders watching the program as well. If they missed a wajib in namaz, how will they know? Will there be a bell will ring and then someone will tell him, you missed a wajib, or one wajib missed, 2 wajib is, how are they going
to
know?
They'll have to record it.
They'll have to record what?
The namaz.
So they'll have to record the namaz, and then after the namaz they have to listen to all the namaz again and see which wajib they missed. Yeah, come on guys, I think you could have used your brain cells better. Okay, you will only know if you missed a wajib if you actually were aware of the wajib actions. So that means as a Muslim, we need to learn about them. We need to educate ourselves. We need to know what is fard, what is wajib, what is sunnah. We need to be aware of it. We need to learn. That's why, alhamdulillah, we have scholars with us. We have scholars, reach out to them. I'm going to share with a beautiful book. If anyone wants to learn the wajib actions, I'm going to give you a quick pointer now. Please make a note of this and find this book and make sure you read the section of 30 wajibat. Okay, and that book is called Laws of Salah. Laws of Salah is available on the website of Da'wat Islami. Go to the library section, books library section, and download this book, Laws of Salah, and go to the contents page and look for wajibat. Wajibat is plural of wajib. So you have one wajib, then you have 2 or more wajib, we say wajibat.
Okay? And it's available in Maktabatul Madinah.
Say that again?
It's available in Maktabatul Madina.
Yeah, it's published by Maktabatul Madina. It's a beautiful book, mashallah. Do you have that in your house?
No, I'm going to get one.
You're going to get one? I think you should have one. You need to go home, look at all the books that you
have.
I'm sure you will have one in your house. If you don't, you know you need to get that book, don't you? Yeah, and you need to read those 30 wajib. Guess what? You need to read it with your abu, okay? So if your dad's watching this program, Abdul Rashid bhai, could you please go through the 30 wajib actions of namaz with Ibrahim? And then Ibrahim, you're going to tell me, aren't you, if you've gone through them. Yeah? Inshallah. Right, that's one thing to keep in mind. We need to learn about them. Because if you're not aware of them, how would you know? So you might be missing your fard in the namaz and you won't even know. And you know, if you say, I don't know. For example, like doing two sajda each time is fard. Now someone didn't know it's two sajda, fard, they did one sajda. Guess, you know what will happen?
Repeat it.
The namaz will happen. The namaz won't count because they missed the fard. If someone didn't do qiraat, and they didn't recite the Qur'an, then namaz won't happen. If someone didn't perform ruku, then namaz won't happen. And you can't say, oh, I didn't know. You can't use that excuse. You can't say, I don't know. That is still not valid. It's still a sin. You still have to go and learn and read the namaz properly. So please, everyone, make sure we learn about sajda sahav. And we need to understand the 30, around 30 wajib actions of namaz, inshallah. Okay, you need to tell me, when was, this is quite, I think Hassan knows the answer, but I'll still give a try. Okay. When did Ala Hazrat become a mufti? So you become a scholar, then you become like a big scholar, a mufti of Islam.
23.
Okay? You got it wrong, but you need to think first. You can't just give the answer right quick. Come on, everyone. He said 23. Oh. The answer is wrong. So what was the age when Ala Hazrat became a mufti?
24.
13.
Are you just guessing any numbers?
13.
Hold on. We're going to come back to it. So have a good think about it, okay? You can't just guess any numbers. It's going to be one from 100, isn't it? Come on. So you need to get to the bottom of it. When did Ala Hazrat become a qualified mufti of Islam? Right, it's time for our last and final segment. What is it called? Islamic manners.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
And today, inshallah, Azawajal, we are going to be talking about the importance of not calling names. You know, some people have a habit of calling names, like messing the name up. For example, I don't know if I should be saying this or not, but I can't. For example, Imran. Someone is called Imran, and then some people, they give them a shortcut, like a nickname. What do they say? Imi. Yeah, and they have all sorts of other words. Someone called Ishfaq, they call him Ishi. Yeah, and some people have called Muhammad, and then they give them shortcut names as well. And I don't even like to call them names, you know. But just for explaining, I'll mention to you, because it does happen in our society. Some people say Moh or Mohd. Yeah, they have shortcuts. And we are not allowed to change any names, especially when it's the name of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Remember this, your parents giving you a special name. They had to, you know, a lot of parents, they spend a lot of time to select a special name for you. When you were born, for example, Ibrahim, when you were born, your parents, your family, they would have got together and they probably would have got like two or three names. They couldn't think of which name should I give this to this baby. And they probably, maybe there was a bit of argument at home as well. Someone probably said, we'll call him Luqman, and someone said, we'll call him Raza, and someone said Ibrahim. Then they said, no, you have to call this. That maybe for some people, I don't know if it's happened to you, but maybe it happened to you as well, then they had to like draw lots. Yeah? They did a raffle for you, didn't they? Did they tell you this? What happened? Can you tell us?
They did a raffle and you had to pick a name, and then they had to keep the name.
Wow, subhanallah. So Ibrahim's family had a raffle there, and they had to select, okay, all the family members, whoever was involved, they probably put a few names there, put the papers upside down, possibly, and then they selected one, and that selection was Ibrahim. And you've been given a beautiful name, Ibrahim. This is the name of a great prophet of Allah, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. So this is with the connection of this great prophet of Allah. And now, look, for example, if you have friends and they call you nicknames, they shorten your names and they
told you all sorts. You say to him, sorry, my name is Ibrahim. I remember I met someone. He was, you could say, a teenager. And I was with his father. And we were on a journey. And this son was called Ghulam Hussein. So which means the servant of Hussein, the slave of Hussein. Ghulam Hussein is a beautiful name. So what happened once, we were on a journey and I was speaking to his father and I said, where's Ghulam? So instead of saying the full name, Ghulam Hussein, I said, where's Ghulam? And the father looked at me and said, Ghulam Hussein. No, I can't even show you the expressions that he actually gave to me at that time. He was unhappy. I thought, what happened here? Well, I didn't understand that part. Why is he so angry? Yeah, because Ghulam, if you generally use the word Ghulam, it means a slave. And so if I say, where's the slave? Now that, it's not appropriate, is it? It's a bit disrespectful. I didn't realize that at that time. I said, where's Ghulam? And he said, no, say Ghulam Hussein. And then, okay, I clicked on. And then like, maybe on the same day or after some, maybe a couple of days later, I mentioned the name again. Where's Ghulam? And he was happy. Then I realized that although like it's easy for me to say Ghulam, like it's one name, isn't it, Ghulam, where's Ghulam? But his name is Ghulam Hussein, and we have to respect that. Yeah. We have to keep the name the way the parents have called him. And we have to respect the name because he has a meaning. Yeah? So suppose someone is called Hassan. Now this is the name of the blessed grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Imam Hassan. It's with that love and connection. Now if someone was to be called Has or something else, you know, I'm just giving you a few ideas, but you know what happens in our schools, our friends and even madrasas as well. You know, people, when kids are talking to each other, they call themselves nicknames. And sometimes they be proud of it. Yeah? You know, they be proud of it, it's wrong. Remember this, we are Muslims and we have been given Muslim names, and it's important for us to be called out with them names, inshallah. So the parents here, please keep that in your mind. It's okay, you know, to, you know, call your sons with beautiful words, but don't mess their names up. You've selected a name for them, you've given your child a name. Do you know how important this name is? Ibrahim, do you know how important this name is? This name will stay with you when you go to Jannah as well, inshallah.
Inshallah.
So this is a special name. Yeah, this is attached with you. And you should be proud of it. You should be so happy about this. So please avoid calling names to people. Don't do shortcuts. Don't mess the names up, especially if it's Islamic name. Okay, if you want to give them like, you know, with love, you want to call them something else, don't shorten the name. Okay, the advice I'll give to the parents here, don't shorten the name. I'll give example. There's also one called Mustafa. Okay, they should be called Ghulam Mustafa, but they have named him Muhammad Mustafa. So now the word Mustafa, in love, the family, you know what they call him? They call him something like Musti or something. That's wrong. It's way out of order. What are you doing? Come on, parents, wake up. Yeah, his name is Mustafa. Make sure you call him Ghulam Mustafa. Give him that beautiful name. Call out to him with beautiful way. If you want to give him like another name, for example, you've called, your name is Ibrahim, for example. Yeah. Now, if your parents want to call you something else, they call you, what should they call you?
Ibi.
They can't call you Ibi. I've just told you. Come on, Ibrahim. You need to tell your parents as well nicely.
In my school, they call me Ibi.
Yeah, but what, now you know what to do, don't you? Don't fight with them, okay? Just say to them nicely, my name is Ibrahim. If they call you nicknames, just don't avoid it. Don't listen to it. Become like a glass. You know, when you talk to the glass, yeah, does it respond to you? It doesn't respond to it. So ignore them. If you want me to talk to you, you have to call me with my name. Are you going to do it now? Yeah? You got a beautiful name. What's your full name?
Muhammad Ibrahim Attari.
Muhammad Ibrahim Attari. Yeah, so your real name is Muhammad, and when we call you Ibrahim. So you've got a beautiful name, and you should be proud of it. So all of us, even Hassan Raza, you might have a nickname as well. I won't ask you what it is, yeah? But please, you know, you all have to play a role. All the kids who are watching this, you have a role to play. How can someone mess your name up, and you just sit there? You need to let them know, make them aware. You know what happens? Sometimes, if you show frustration, If you get angry, so if they call you that word you said, yeah, if they call you that and you get angry, then you know what's going to happen? They're going to call you with that name again because they know you get angry. Yeah. So don't get frustrated, don't show your anger, don't swear at them. Yeah. But in a nice way, make them aware, look, my name is Ibrahim and that's my name. Yeah. If you want to talk to me, call me this. Otherwise, stay in your place. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Should we do our answer?
Well, yeah, what was that? What was the question?
The question was, what age did Ala Hazrat become a qualified Mufti?
Subhanallah, do you know the answer then?
I know.
No, I think Ibrahim doesn't know. Come on, Ibrahim, don't worry, you're not in trouble, okay?
13.
You have to see the full thing. I was looking for the full answer. Do you know when you eat a burger,
yeah,
you eat half burger?
No.
You don't do it, you eat the full burger.
Okay.
So I want a full answer.
At the age of 13, Ala Hazrat became a Mufti of Islam.
Subhanallah. 13 years, how many months and how many days old?
4 months, I think.
What's going on here? I don't know what to say now. You need to get it spot on. Come on, have a guess. 13 years, that's correct. What's next?
6 months.
Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatur rahman became a qualified Mufti of Islam. So you could say he's done masters in Islam. So after the degree, he's done a master's degree in Islam at the age of 13 years, 10 months and 4 days. Subhanallah. Wow. Can you believe it? Just like someone under 14 years old. Just imagine someone like, you know, is it year 10?
Yeah.
Around year 10, 14 year old, just less than 14 year old, he's completed a Mufti course. So by that age, Ala Hazrat was he was Alim-e-Deen, he was a scholar, he used to speak Arabic, he used to do speeches, he was a qualified Mufti as well. And you know what that means? When someone becomes a Mufti, that means that people can come to him, ask Islamic questions. Ask any Islamic questions, then that Mufti gives them the answers according to the teaching of Islam. That's not a small thing. That is a great honor. And all this, I want to conclude this last, the message of today's program. Alhamdulillah, today we were discussing the blessed childhood of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And one important lesson we learned from his beautiful childhood is the special attention and focus and the tarbiyah the parents have given to him at the young age. And if we were all to spend that quality time, that special focus for Islamic education of our children at young age, then just imagine what type of children will grow up. They'll become adults. When they become adults, they'll either become Hafiz al-Quran, they'll become Alim-e-Deen, they'll become leaders of Islam, they'll do wonders of beautiful works in their life, inshallah azawajal. We will see you again in the next program. Until then, keep watching Madani Channel. Once before we leave, can we say I love Islam loud?
I love Islam.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.